Hi, this is Paul Marks, host and producer of Multifamily Matters. Today we're going to air the best of Multifamily Matters. It's a very educational and informative episode, so listen and enjoy the best of Multifamily Matters.
Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks. We have a great show with two special guests who are extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. Today, we're discussing something that is important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is Multifamily Risk Report. What's driving employee turnover? I have joining me by phone two longtime multifamily industry veterans who are very important supplier partners to the industry, Kara Rice, the Chief Communications Officer at Swift Bunny, and Joe Bailey, the Chief Executive Officer and Founder of Swift Bunny. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you, Paul. Great to be here.
You know, I think just off the right off the bat, Kara, why don't you tell our listeners, for those who maybe have not been aware of what Swift Bunny does, you know, exactly what Swift Bunny does, and also kind of give us the introduction to this new, very detailed report that you just came out with.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you. So at Swift Bunny, we are focused on the multifamily employee experience. And we work with owner managers. They partner with us to survey their employees throughout the year to identify what's working well for them as well as what's not working so well for them. And the purpose of that is that we really help them identify what's getting in the way of employee satisfaction and performance. And by doing that, really tapping into the sentiments of their employee pool, we can help those owners and operators to make improvements that drive superior performance and ultimately help them hang on to their employees and drive down that employee turnover, which is good for service delivery, it's good for customer satisfaction, and it's good for resident retention. So that's what we do over here at Swift Bunny, and thanks for inviting us to talk about our latest research report. It's titled the 2022 Employee Engagement Risk Report, and what we've done, Paul, is kind of took a look at all of the survey responses from all of our clients for 2021 to try to see what trends we could find that might really be instructive for everyone in the industry, since employee turnover is probably a bigger issue than it ever has been in multifamily. So we wanted to try to figure out what was driving that and what leaders can do in order to try to drive employee turnover down.
You know, Joe, I wanted to ask you, the you know, this is a topic that we discuss on this weekly show very frequently about employee turnover and the great resignation and all the things that people are dealing with right now. Why do you think employee turnover is one of multifamily's greatest operational challenges?
Well, I think one of the things that really comes to mind when you ask that question, Paul, is that it's hard to manage something if you can't measure it. And I don't think as an industry we do a great job of really understanding what turnover is, how much is going on, the factors that drive it, obviously. And again, if you can't measure it and really understand it inherently, you really can't do much about it. Employee turnover for us, especially in the on-site positions, when you look at leasing consultants, you look at maintenance technicians on-site that are being hired, in a lot of cases, these are young people. They didn't go to school for this. They're out there, and they're getting a first job in a lot of cases. And it's amazing, but, you know, these people don't look at this as a career. But at the end of the day, you know, we're losing a lot of these people after 90 days. People are leaving, quitting jobs within the first 90 days of being employed. So as an industry, I don't think we do a great job of onboarding. I don't think we truly understand turnover. And if we could improve in those areas, those two areas right there, I think it'd make a huge difference.
Oh, that, definitely. And Kara, I mean, I know you're very active in industry events and speaking at different venues. And, you know, what do you hear? I know Swift Bunny does detailed reporting, but just conversationally, what are you hearing about the challenge of turnover right now?
Oh, it's tremendous. And, you know, I've long held the opinion that employee turnover is too high in multifamily, and we've just sort of accepted that that's how it is in multifamily. But, Paul, the last year to 2 years, so much disruption. And every leader that we speak with right now is citing staffing issues as their top concern. And that's not just anecdotally. There's also a survey that the NAA did late last year of owner-operators, and they reported 74% of their respondents chose HR, staffing, and recruitment as their biggest area of concern. So turnover is higher perhaps than it's ever been. And, of course, the labor conditions are such that you just can't fill those empty seats right now. So it's creating a really difficult challenge for operators who are running short-staffed and having a very difficult time filling those positions. And, of course, when there's empty seats, then that just means that work is harder for the rest of the employees who are still there.
Yeah, I think that's one of the key objections that I've heard, and maybe your report goes into more detail about it, but, you know, the workload that the people have. And when you look at the maintenance side of things, you know, being on call and people, you know, I've heard people say that a lot of their maintenance teams that they've lost have gone into other industries where they don't have to be on call. So what have you found out about that through your report?
Yeah, no question. Maintenance is a very difficult position to retain right now, and they are being tempted by other opportunities. And you're absolutely right, Paul. There's a lot of attrition in the maintenance field where professionals can figure out that, hey, you know, instead of being the jack of all trades, having to do absolutely everything at the apartment community, you know, I'm the plumber, I'm the HVAC guy, so on and so forth. You know, it might make sense to specialize and just do one of those aspects in the trades, and there may be an opportunity to land a position that doesn't require on-call work. And honestly, the pay is often better in the trades or in construction. So, you know, they're being tempted by job offers not just within multifamily, but in other industries as well. And I think that that is going to get even more urgent because the development pipeline, construction pipeline, is tremendous. I actually just read some information from RealPage that says we're on track to construct more than 400,000 market rate units in the U.S. this year alone. So somebody's got to build those, right?
Right?
And once they're complete, somebody has to manage and lease them. So I really think that this staffing challenge is going to be with us for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree. And, Joe, we've got about 2 minutes left in this segment. Tell me a little bit about your feelings on what you found out through the report on workload, and not just in the maintenance side, but across the board.
Yeah, that really, if you stop and think about it, that's one of the scariest things. And even in good times, even when there were plenty of candidates out there, for years now we've been loading more and more and more work, you know, things to do on the on-site staff. There was a time when all the accounting was done back in the home office, but, you know, that's not true anymore. You've got social media to manage. You've got all these other things to do. And so that just magnifies the problem when somebody does leave. When you lose that assistant manager, when you lose that leasing agent, now the other team members are having to pick up the slack, and there's a lot of slack to pick up. So it's tough even in the good times, but when the employment pool out there is as low as it is right now, and as Kara said, there's no question that maintenance is the single probably the single biggest challenge trying to hire those individuals. But the bottom line is the entire staff is getting stressed. It's like a snowball going downhill. You lose one or two people, and suddenly the rest of the staff is just put to the test.
Yeah, and we've got about a minute left. But, Kara, when you start losing people, it causes all kinds of other issues other than the fact that you're stressing employees out. The residents aren't getting the maintenance they need. The social media is not being kept up with. It's just kind of, as Joe said, a snowball that occurs. And what have you heard on that?
Yeah, it's absolutely right. So untenable workloads is one of the greatest risks that we identified in our report. Team members are just saying they flat out can't get their work done in the time allowed, and they need some help. And you know what, Paul, I'll tell you one position in particular that really stood out to us in this report is the regional managers. The regional managers are feeling stressed and really, you know, facing a lot of burnout. And it's kind of not surprising considering all that we've been through in the last 2 years. You know, the pandemic has added extra stress here and strain. And those regionals really serve as the bridge between corporate and the on-site teams. And so they probably had to roll out a lot of unpopular policies changes, procedural changes, a lot more resident stress in the last couple of years. So it's really been a difficult time.
Oh, definitely. Well, we're going to stop it right here. We're going to be back right after this short break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasting time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials, or maybe you're worried about a pending audit? Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Balanced Asset Solutions is a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and AppFolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions at 619-415-6826. Visit the website at balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
We are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters. Today, we're discussing something that is especially important and timely to the multifamily industry, and our topic is Multifamily Risk Report, What's Driving Employee Turnover? I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans who are important supplier partners to the industry, Kara Rice, the Chief Communications Officer at Swift Bunny, and Joe Bailey, the Chief Executive Officer and Founder of Swift Bunny. And before we jump back into the conversation, I'd like to remind our listeners that if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. You know, we talked a little bit about kind of what the situation is right now, as well as with workload issues. But let's talk a little bit more about some of the things that drive turnover. And I noticed in your report you had the dissatisfaction with internal communications. What does that mean?
Hey, I'll jump in there. So, yeah, that is one of the things that we found to be really eye-opening in the feedback from employees, Paul. It turns out we heard from about one-third of the employees in our survey who say that they're not satisfied with the amount of communication that they get from either their managers or company leaders. And that, I think, is really interesting. And it's so interesting to kind of unpack that with managers and supervisors. And many times what I hear from supervisors is some frustration with that sentiment because they feel like they're doing a lot of communicating. And yet, on the employees end, they feel like they're not getting any information. So I think it's really interesting. And I think that the lesson here for leaders and supervisors is messages are not necessarily getting through, and so we've got to be creative with how we communicate with teams. So it may not be enough to simply publish information in an email blast, because it could be that not all of your employees bother to read their email. I'll give you an example. I spoke with an apartment association, actually did a webinar with an apartment association, and one of the regional managers chimed in and said, this is so completely true. And she shared a story about during the pandemic. Do you remember the early days of the pandemic when it was so hard to get PPE for the on-site team? Mm-hmm. So this company had scored some PPE and masks, and I don't even remember what else, sanitizer. They were so delighted to be able to have this equipment to bring it out to their team. So they sent an email out saying, we're making deliveries to all of the on-site teams on Saturday, so make sure that you've got your maintenance supervisors ready to receive this equipment. And they put this posse together to go out and make visits to the on-site teams. And they were really excited about it, and they were expecting to be well-received. But what happened was when they got to the communities, it turns out nobody knew they were coming. Mm. And the maintenance directors were actually sort of angered by this delivery because they didn't know it was coming because they don't read the email. And consequently, they had gone through all sorts of hoops to secure PPE for themselves. So they were frustrated by the fact that they didn't have to do all of that. So it all just boils down to a big communication breakdown. And again, I think the lesson there is you just got to get creative and make sure that, you know, email's not enough. You also have to reach people in the ways that they want to receive information. So perhaps that means, you know, if you send an email, you also instruct the property manager to print that email out and review it with the team in their in-person meeting or hang it on a bulletin board or what have you. You really have to get creative to make sure your messages are being delivered.
Yeah, and I would just add to that, in the very beginning of the pandemic, I had a lot of our guests on the show talk about communication was so vitally important, but it was very difficult because people were getting different information on a regular basis. They were blasting out to their teams on site, this is our policy, this is what we're going to do. And then 2 days later, you know, something new came up from the CDC or whatever the authorities were of what you could or couldn't do, and they had to change that policy. And it, a lot of the on-site teams, the feedback that we were getting at that time was we're very frustrated by the fact that the communication was there, but it just wasn't consistent and accurate. And it's no fault of the, you know, obviously we're going through a pandemic, things change. But that can also add to the frustration. Joe, what do you think?
Yeah, no question about it. It's, you know, with one of the things we do at Swift Money is we look at engagement, and high levels of engagement with employees tend to reduce turnover. But it all starts with communications. You can't have engagement if you don't have communications. And communications is a two-way street. It's not just a matter of the employees on site asking a question to the supervisors and then trying to get an answer or a solution for whatever problem they're dealing with. A lot of times, you know, the management of the company needs to be asking questions of the on-site people as well. And that brings up, you know, one of the things we found is that a real trip point for companies is when they ask their employees about some program or problem or issue that they're having, and the employees take the time to answer the question, but then the company does nothing about what it was that they were being asked about. When you bring the employees into that that two-way communication and you do something about what they're saying, you respond to it. It's not just one question, one answer. It's a conversation back and forth. And that that's one of the things that companies need to understand when they look at how they're communicating with these on-site employees. It needs to be a real conversation.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. And, Kara, I'm interested in what type of recommendations or advice do you give to clients when they go to the trouble of bringing you guys in to do these surveys, you know, what to do and how to disseminate that information and how to make it so that they're getting the best benefit from their employees who take it seriously the next time they want to do something like that. What type of advice do you give?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, Joe's absolutely right. I think it's kind of a golden rule of surveying. If you're going to ask a question, if you're going to ask for input, you've got to be prepared to do something with the responses. So that's a conversation that we have with all of our clients that, you know, listen, you've got to be prepared for the next steps when the feedback comes from your team members. Because if you don't do anything with it, that's almost worse than never asking for that input to begin with.
Exactly.
So we always recommend that that leaders report on the findings. At a bare minimum, you've got to report on the findings, even if you are not prepared to take action yet. You know, report back to the team members. We heard you. You listed X, Y, and Z as your greatest challenges. And here's what we are doing about it. And if you haven't solved the here's what we're doing about it piece, that's okay, but acknowledge that you're working on it. And that's how you foster good, continuous communication from your team members. They need to know that you actually listened. And then even better than that is to see some action taken as a result of their feedback.
Yeah, you know, Paul, I'll tell you something. We've seen this happen before where somebody does a survey. They'll survey their employees about whatever topic you want to name, and they get the survey results back. They look at the survey, they read it, and they stick it in a drawer, and that's really the end of it. Mm-hmm. And that's just such a common problem. People look at the survey, and they're not quite sure how to handle it or what to do about it. And so that's a real challenge for a lot of companies.
Yeah, and it's almost – you know, worse, I think, as far as employee morale to, mm-hmm. you know, to ask yep. the question, ask for their input and then do nothing, than it would be to not ask at all and just, you know, let things go status quo. What type of feedback do you get from employees when they're taking surveys? I mean, do you ever measure anything like, do you believe that something's going to be done with the concerns or that you're being heard?
So I don't know that we ask that specific question, but we certainly allow for, you know, employees to just kind of freestyle and give feedback of their own choice, you know. And we certainly do hear that on occasion. Employees, here's the thing about the surveys that we roll out. They're anonymous. And so employees feel really free that they can speak their mind. So sometimes you really hear very candid thoughts like, you know, it's great that you're asking this, but hard to believe that anything's going to be done with it. And that's one of the benefits, I think, of having these confidential surveys, because employees feel like they can speak very candidly without fear of repercussion.
That's really important, too, Paul, when you do these surveys, to ensure for the employees as best you can that they are, in fact, anonymous. I've got a brother-in-law who works for a golf cart company here in Augusta, Georgia, where I live, and they do surveys all the time. But most of the employees refuse to answer the survey simply because they're worried about retribution. And it's that's a common problem that surveyors have, trying to ensure that anonymity, if you will, for the survey takers.
No, that makes a lot of sense, too. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to break it here. We're going to be back with our next segment right after this short break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
We are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters. We're discussing something that is very important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic today is Multifamily Risk Report. What's driving employee turnover? I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans who are very, very important supplier partners to the industry. Kara Rice, the Chief Communications Officer at Swift Bunny, and Joe Bailey, the Chief Executive Officer and Founder of Swift Bunny. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Econserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for multifamily properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions. Don't delay, call Balanced Asset Solutions today. And CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So we've talked about some of the different things that your report, your very detailed report, showed were concerns about what's driving employee turnover in multifamily. One of the things that was there that's really not shocking, but I think it's something that's an important driver, and that is uncertainty about career development opportunities. Talk a little bit about that, Kara.
Yeah, so this was really interesting to learn, Paul. We found in studying all of the surveys across all of our clients, only 40% of employees in multifamily said that they understand their career or promotion path. So that means the majority of them, 60%, aren't really sure what the future holds for them at their employer. And that opens the door, I think, to temptation for them to consider opportunities at other employers, whether that's inside the industry or outside the industry. Because people, you know, I think it's very natural that people want to be able to progress in their careers. And when they don't know how to do that inside their own organization, then that lowers their engagement level and makes them more likely to consider jumping ship and going elsewhere. So I think there's a real opportunity there for leaders to be proactive in making sure that they're having those conversations with employees and really mapping out for them what the future holds in terms of career development possibilities for them and helping them make a roadmap for how to get there. And one of the primary things, it's so easy to fix, one of the primary things that we have found is the majority of leaders will tell us that they socialize all of their job openings with their current teams. But in contrast to that, the majority of employees say they never hear about that. So, you know, we spoke earlier about communication issues. Here's another communication issue. Leaders and those who are in charge of recruitment think that they're socializing these openings, but somehow that message isn't getting through to the on-site team members. So we need to do a better job at that.
No, that, no question. And Joe, you know, the cost of finding and hiring and onboarding a new employee is just
staggering.
It is staggering these days. If you can find somebody, and you know, one of the things that I've had a guest on recently who mentioned is they're saying that, you know, what good is an exit interview? You need to do stay interviews with people.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about what you're hearing and what your thoughts are on this situation with trying to develop the employees that you have.
Yeah, that's really important. The cost of this, I don't want to go into all the numbers on this, but understand, you know, the cost of losing an employee is huge. You know, SHRM out there, Society of Human Resource Management, estimates that, you know, it's about 40% of somebody's base pay is what it's going to cost you to find somebody else and bring them in and train them and get them oriented to the company, et cetera. I think that number's low, actually. I think it's a lot higher than that. And we've run some very detailed analysis of exactly what the costs are. And the numbers were so big, nobody believed them.
Yeah.
And that's just being completely honest about it. You have to think about all those little things that normally you don't think and normally you don't even measure, that when that person leaves, what happens then while the position is vacant? Also, all the things that you have to go through to get a bunch of resumes together, do the interviews, do the background checks, everything else. It's just you lose money like you turned on a faucet.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something that we know we've talked to a lot of different folks about the cost of this. And, you know, at one point I just said to somebody I was talking to about this, I said, well, you don't believe my number, then fine, what number do you want to put out there? What do you think it costs every time you lose an employee? And the number I probably hear the most often is about $5,000. That's what people believe it costs when you lose an employee. And this number is really not even close. It's just not even in the ballpark. So from a cost standpoint, a bottom line standpoint, what we're going through right now is costing our industry millions of dollars as an industry. It's just pounding us, and I don't see it letting up anytime soon. There's nothing on the horizon that indicates that the employment situation is going to get any better. One of the things Kara talked about earlier was maintenance employees and the difficulty of getting those guys. Well, I mean, we were talking at NAA, and Kara, who was that gave the speech about the maintenance personnel?
Mark Kukrow.
Yep, that's right. Mark Kukrow was giving a statement. He said that the supply of qualified maintenance personnel within 3 or 4 years was going to be reduced by over 70%. And if that really happens, then we're in serious trouble as an industry.
Yeah, I mean, I, the only thing I would know that some enterprising third-party companies, contractors, whatever, would have to take over those responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still going to have the same issues of finding the people. There is no easy solution for it. I would tell you that when we were talking about the cost of the loss of an employee and what it takes to bring an employee on, my question is, who bears that cost? Ultimately, who pays that cost? For instance, if you have a third-party management company, and you know, the owners, are they paying a portion of that cost, or
yes?
So it's the owner ultimately who pays it, whether it's a third party or an asset managed deal. Then
is that? Yeah, either way, Paul, those numbers are hitting that P&L statement, and whoever's footing the bill at the end of the day, they're the ones responsible for it.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems that somebody would hopefully read this report and do something about it, because it's costing them an arm and a leg.
Paul, can I say one other thing?
Sure.
About what Kara was talking about? You know, if you promote from within, that needs to be part of your culture. That needs to be something, as she was mentioning earlier, that you socialize that to anybody out there that wants to listen, and obviously to your staff internally. But that not only makes your own staff feel better, but when you're talking to an outside candidate, that, you know, if they see that you're big on promoting from within, that's a real plus for them in going to work for you.
Yeah.
So definitely something you need to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Do we have time for me to chime in?
Yeah, we've got about 2 minutes left.
Okay, great. We've had a lot of doom and gloom here, but I do want to share some optimism. Joe's exactly right. If you are, if you've got a culture where you're promoting from within, then you need to celebrate that. You need to talk about that because that is so motivating to your existing team members, and it's also going to help you on the recruitment front. So it can be as simple as sharing those promotion stories socially. Every time somebody moves up the ladder, create a social post about that and share that on all of your channels. So everybody who works for you and everybody who's thinking about coming to work for you can see that this is a place where dreams come true for team members and folks can climb the ladder. I think it's so important. And I'm always watching LinkedIn to see how management companies are doing this. And I was so excited to recently see a management company that specializes in student housing. They had this post where they were saying they were celebrating 101 promotions in 2021. Mm-hmm. And I think that's absolutely brilliant, particularly for that market. You're bringing in a lot of people who are green to the industry and student housing. And, of course, these young people think they're going to conquer the world and be the CEO next week, right? So they love to see that promotions are abundant in the organization they're joining.
Yeah, and that's a great point. You know, on LinkedIn, for instance, I have seen just a what I would – I have no scientific – basis for this, but just what I've noticed is a tremendous increase in people announcing and going out of their way to make a big deal out of new employees or people that have been promoted. And that's, I'm sure, part of their plan to communicate to their employees that they're important. And I think that's important.
I think it's necessary. I think you've got to be doing that right now if you want to be able to fill those empty seats.
Yeah, well, we're going to break it here. We're going to be back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasting time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials, or maybe you're worried about a pending audit? Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Balanced Asset Solutions is a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and AppFolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions at 619-415-6826. Visit the website at balanceassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing something that is especially important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is Multifamily Risk Report: What's Driving Employee Turnover? I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans. They're very important supplier partners to our industry, and that's Kara Rice, the Chief Communications Officer at Swift Bunny, and Joe Bailey, the Chief Executive Officer and Founder of Swift Bunny. We've talked about a lot of different things in our first three segments regarding the risk report that you guys have come out with, with. And I want to ask you a little bit about onboarding. Tell us, Joe, what are your thoughts on that?
You know, onboarding is so important. If you do a good job with onboarding a new employee, it makes all the difference in the world. It gets them off, you know, on the right foot. And quite frankly, as an industry, I don't think we do a very good job of onboarding. Just being honest there, but I think we do a great job with bringing a brand new resident into their new home, but we don't do such a great job with getting that new employee started up. And there's so much to this too. This is something we could unpack and talk on for days. Yeah. But onboarding, as you know, in terms of all the little intricate things that are important to an employee when they first start out, everything from, you know, getting a name badge, a uniform, getting a login credential for a piece of software they'll have to use, et cetera. There's so many things that have to be done, including also, let's not forget, you know, they've got to go to some kind of orientation to the company. They need to understand who they've just hooked up with and get a chance to maybe meet the executives. And again, those are little things, but they get the employee off on the right foot. And like I said, I just don't think as an industry we do a very good job of this. It's a lot of times the employees are thrown into it very quickly, and they just you know, are kind of thrown into the mix, and they'll shadow, if they're a leasing agent, they'll shadow somebody else for a while. If they're a maintenance person, they might get to work right away. Who knows? But we need to do a better job as an industry. If we do, then I think that by itself would have a huge impact on employee retention.
Yeah, and I think that's important. And I know one thing we haven't discussed yet, but is always in the discussion when it comes to employee retention and turnover, and that is compensation. Kara, what did the mm-hmm. report show about that?
Yeah, so it is among one of the top risks for retention. Employees reported that they're not necessarily feeling like the compensation is fair for their roles. And that's a tale as old as time, Paul. I mean, folks always want to get paid more, but I think it's particularly urgent right now with the labor market being what it is. You know, people are being tempted by high wage opportunities elsewhere. So it's something that I don't have the answer to, because I understand that owners and managers can't necessarily just, you know, throw money at the problem, but it's worth talking about and thinking about because it is very real. We saw the highest level of discontent with compensation from leasing professionals. Oh. And I don't know if that's because those folks have opportunities in sales elsewhere that, you know, sometimes pay big commissions. I'm not sure. But it's something to be mindful of. We also saw that employee tenure dropped the most in leasing professionals year over year. We saw a 33% drop in tenure in the leasing professionals. So if you want to hang on to the leasing teams, thinking about what you're paying them is definitely a factor. And we know, too, you know, if you spend any time on LinkedIn, you see that employers are offering signing bonuses to try to fill mm-hmm. those mm-hmm. empty seats. And I see where that absolutely makes sense. You've got to fill those empty seats. But on the other hand, I worry about what that does for morale for existing employees when they see new employees, you know, getting a big fat bonus just for arriving. And how about these, you know, loyal employees who've been there for the long term? What's in it for them? So I think it's a very complicated issue for leaders right now.
Yeah, Kara's exactly right about that. That when you look at an existing employee watching a brand new person come in and they've been paid, number one, they've been paid a signing bonus of some kind, of some amount, and they've also been offered a salary that may be higher than theirs, than yours. And so at the end of the day, it's creating a lot of problems in the ranks. Of course, the solution to that is just to give everybody a raise,
right?
Give everybody a signing bonus. But you know, when you look at the profit and loss statement, that certainly doesn't help you out on the bottom line. But it's Kara's right, though. I don't know the solution to this. Every company is a little bit different in how they pay and how they compensate their employees. But it's definitely something that we need to pay attention to, or else we're going to be losing a lot more folks.
No, that makes sense. And I got to tell you, when it comes to the attrition of the leasing professionals, I've always felt that some of that is self-inflicted, because you always see where leasing professionals are being moved to assistant manager positions. So they're, you know, they're robbing their pool of leasing professionals to fill other positions, and you know, that kind of makes it difficult to have some stability when it comes to revenue on job on projects, I would think.
Yep, and on top of that, I was going to say, on top of that, they also move on to other positions, marketing, training, what have you. I mean, there's a lot of other middle-level positions they'll leave the property for.
Yeah. We've got about 6 minutes left, and I want to talk a little bit. First of all, I want to ask you, if somebody wanted to get a copy of this report, what would be the best way for them to do that?
So it is available for download right from our website, which is swiftbunny.com. If you hop on over to the downloads area of the website, you can grab a copy right there. And if you follow us on any of our social channels, you'll see that we are heavily promoting it there as well.
Yeah, and I can tell you that it's a meaty report. It's 26 pages long. There's a lot of great information in there, so I would certainly advise anybody who has an interest in understanding employee turnover and what the challenges are for the industry to do that. I want to talk a little bit about, well, first of all, I always ask the question of our guests, how did you get into the industry and so forth, which I want to ask you. But I just want to say that, you know, Swift Bunny is so very well thought of in the industry. I can't tell you, you know, we've been doing this show, we're going into our fifth year of doing weekly 1 hour shows, and I can't tell you how many times the guests have brought up Swift Bunny and that they use Swift Bunny, which speaks a lot to the value they place on the information they're getting that you're helping them, you know, get through from their employees through surveys. But tell us a little bit about each of you. How you got into the business, and then we'll talk a little bit more about Swift Bunny. We have about 4.5 minutes left.
Terry, you want to go first?
Sure. So I think my story is probably common to a lot of folks who are listening, which is this was not an intentional career path for me, Paul. I stumbled in. Mm-hmm. I was looking for work, and the apartment community where I had just leased was hiring a leasing consultant. And so I thought, hey, I could do that. I mean, how hard could that be? I'll do that until I find a real job. And, you know, I didn't realize that it actually was a real job. And not only that, it was a very satisfying job and one with a fantastic career path. And lo and behold, 30 years later, I am still here in the industry. Now, a couple of years in to my career in multifamily, I had the privilege of working for Joe. So I was in operations and was a property manager and then moved into a training role. And Joe led operations for the property management company that I worked for at the time. So he and I have been attached at the hip for 20-something years now.
Long time, yep.
Well, that is not an uncommon story. I can tell you that out of the maybe 400 people that have been guests on the show, when I asked that question, I think all but three have told me that they started out in a leasing position, and it was just a part-time situation while they were waiting for something mm-hmm. else. So that is not uncommon. Joe, tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I go back about 42 years now in the business, a long time, but I was actually in graduate school in neurophysiology, and Ronald Reagan had just become president, and he cut off all the funding to my area. So I was basically a guy with a degree, but I had no job. So I stumbled into a resort in Charleston, South Carolina, and began working in property management there. After a little Hurricane Hugo came through in 1989, I then went to work for one of the original apartment REITs in this country and did that for a number of years. And after that, we started, Kara and I, and another person that started Graysell, which we ran for about 15 years. And then sold in 2014, after which we started Swift Bunny. So that's been in a nutshell, that's what I've been doing.
Fantastic. Well, tell us a little bit about Swift Bunny. You know, what type of clients get the most benefit from what you're doing, and tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, we started Swift Bunny a few years ago, and, you know, at Graysell, we were all about e-learning for multifamily. We were one of the first e-learning providers out there, so there was a definite employee focus there. after we left, after we sold Grace Hill in 2014, Kara called me up one day and said, "Are you done?" And I said, "No, I don't think I am." So we actually started Swift Bunny with a mind towards creating something that was focused on the employee experience. And that is that's been our focus all along, and it's been a good ride so far. Trying to sell and try to explain to people what employee engagement and culture are and what kind of impact they can have on the company's financials has been an interesting conversation that we've had with a number of folks out there so far. But I think for the most part, the bigger companies tend to probably benefit from us, although the small ones, we've got a lot of very small operators out there with, you know, 4 or 5 properties, 6, 7 properties, something like that. I think the bigger ones tend to they can see a bigger change, a bigger financial impact on what goes on with their company using Swift Bunny.
Okay.
And Kara, would that be fair to say?
Yeah, you know, I tend to think of it a little bit differently. I feel like open-minded leaders are the ones that we can serve the best, because these are the folks who are willing to listen to what their employees have to say. And, you know, Joe and I spent, as he just indicated, we spent a bunch of time focused on employee development. And during that time, it really kind of dawned on us that multifamily, you know, we can just keep throwing money at training, but if you don't stop the employee attrition, then it's just a never-ending problem there, right? So instead of focusing on so much on the resident experience and trying to retain those residents, which is important, let's look at this problem even earlier on, and let's try to hang on to those employees so those employees can help us hang on to those residents. We think it's all interconnected. So we really fare well with organizational leaders who are interested in hearing what their employees have to say and open to the idea that there could be some different ways of doing things that might be more successful.
Well, fantastic. Well, we do have to break it here. I do want to thank you both for being on and encourage everyone to get the report. We are going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.